The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
The weekend is knocking on the door, and we are happy to join you for the next few hours or however long you're able to give us. It's Friday, and we have a lot going on. Let's get right to it. And the stories seem somewhat similar to where we've been for the past couple of days. TCU has hired Arkansas's Kendall Briles as its new offensive coordinator. This has been in the mix for a couple of days. He's already been replaced by Dan Enos coming over to Fayetteville from Maryland. In Ann Arbor, it's another day, and there is more trouble. Really? Matt Weiss, co-offensive coordinator, kaput. Do we know why? We don't even care. He's gone. Welcome to the program. Max Olson joining us from The Athletic. Max, we'll talk about Michigan in a minute. Thanks for being. By the way, let me start there for just a second. They're in the news a lot these days, are they not? Harbaugh staying. Coordinators are going. I realize all of these things are separate, but is there any way to make sense out of the situation right now in Ann Arbor?
Yeah, no, you're right. And Paul, appreciate you having me on as always. It's a lot to keep up with the Michigan beat here in the past month or two. And I thought it was interesting too, just following, you know, you knew he was interviewing for the Broncos job, but you had to follow the Twitter account of the school president to get updates on what was going on with their negotiations to get Harbaugh to stay and stuff. The Matt Weiss firing happening today. I'm curious to see how they replace him on their staff. Yeah, for how successful they've been, definitely a lot going on right here in the last couple weeks.
Well, Max, listen, presidents need Twitter followers too. Not just ESPN and Athletic reporters. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the transfer portal. The window has finally closed, and we expected it to be wild. It will open again in a couple of months. But what is your view of what has transpired in here, and make sense out of it all?
Yeah, it was certainly a chaotic period for college football in December when you had the transfer portal open up on December 5th, in addition to high school recruiting and coaching changes and bowl games and all that. And, you know, really in talking with recruiting staffers across the country, the expectation was that they were going to be really overwhelmed and it was going to be, you know, way too many players hitting the portal at once. And that's what we got really over this 45-day window. More than 1,200 FBS scholarship players became available in a short period of time here. And so it was really a flurry of guys moving on. And then, you know, the transfer process is just, it's just such a fast moving thing now where if a guy's taking a visit somewhere, he's probably going there. Like you're maybe taking a couple and you're usually wrapping up a decision on where you're going very, very quickly there. And so lots of players moving around, not just, you know, star quarterbacks and stuff like that, but really players at every position. And it's now the dust is like kind of settling a little bit. We kind of like step back here and look at, you know, who really benefited.
Yeah, and I think what's also interesting, and I want you to address this, is we make such a big deal on signing day. This class finishes one or two or three, but you have to look back to next year and see how many are still there, which brings me to the question of a year ago, best signing class we've ever seen by Jimbo Fisher and Texas A&M, and I just kept hearing their name over and over again. I realize not all of those players that are in the portal from A&M came from last year's class, but it seemed like some pretty significant ones did.
Yeah, absolutely. A&M is leading the way right now in terms of scholarship players that they've lost to the portal this offseason. They've lost 25. 22 of them have ended up at other schools so far, most of them Power 5. Yeah, certainly that recruiting class. You know, the most important thing for A&M coming off this disappointing season was just trying to hold that 2022 recruiting class together. In fact, it was a lot more important than the 2023 recruiting class because you've already got them on campus. And so you need to, whether it's doing deals or whatever, you need to figure out a way to get those guys to stay. And certainly, you know, Evan Stewart and some of the big name guys of the D linemen in that class did stay. But certainly you had some of those players that made headlines during the season for getting in trouble, like Denver Harris and Chris Marshall, five-star guys. You know, they moved on to other places. And, you know, A&M, I think they've lost some really good players. eight top 100 recruits off the roster. You could argue maybe it wasn't as bad as everyone feared, but certainly the Aggies have some spots opened up here, and they have to try to hold on to the rest of these guys as long as they can.
On your list, you have A&M, and then comes Ole Miss, Arkansas. You have Florida on there. Everyone has players leaving for different reasons. Sometimes you're glad when they're gone, but is there any way to look at some of these and try to figure out what it means?
Yeah, I think the standard has kind of changed here in the last few years. Like, usually if you're looking at a program that has had 10 or 15 or even like 20 would be extreme in the past, that many guys transferring out of your program, you'd be like, what's wrong there? Something's broken. Like, what is the coach doing wrong? They're on the hot seat, all that stuff. And now this is just kind of the norm. I mean, you look at Power 5 programs right now, and at least this point, halfway through this transfer cycle, the average Power 5 program has lost more than 12 transfers this offseason. So I think you kind of expect that now. And then the rule change that's happened, basically these coaches, if they lose a player, they can go out and sign a player now. That wasn't the case up until a year ago, really. And so you see some cases, like you said, where, yeah, maybe you're losing some players that you don't want to lose, but maybe there's others you're also kind of pushing out the door because you feel like they can't play at your place and they're just going to be depth guys. And that frees you up to go sign more players, not just in the high school ranks, but for the most part, go out and sign a lot more transfers. So I think what you're seeing a little bit, like you mentioned, at some of these SEC schools, is maybe this is kind of the new oversigning, where you're going to have guys that are kind of pushed out so that they can free up room to go get slightly better players or guys that can help them right away. And I think that roster churn is just something we should expect here going forward.
Max, finally, what do you hear from coaches who are in the middle of all this, who really can never take a break? It's not that these are easy jobs, but they're more complicated than they used to be, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, I mean, I think that if you took any college football coach and offered them a job in the NFL, they would think very seriously about taking it. I mean, I think that just we're at this point where there's a lot of burnout. There's a lot of people who are kind of tired about how much this has changed from what they were used to when they were coming up in coaching. And, the portal's part of it. Obviously, the thing we haven't hit on with the portal stuff is that, a lot of guys are moving on because they want better opportunities and stuff. And then a lot of guys are moving on because of NIL and because of inducement and tampering. And, like, we know that that's rampant and there's, nothing that's really being done to stop it. And so it's kind of a fight every day now, not just to go out and recruit and get better, but to hold on to your guys and to, hope that they don't leave. And as it becomes more and more normal that these guys, are going to play at multiple schools over the course of their career. Like, yeah, it's been a struggle for these coaches who are trying to juggle this and trying to like have a good culture and build a good roster. But whether you're at the highest level and trying to compete for championships or whether you're just trying to like get to bowl games and be pretty consistently good, it is a challenge right now to hold on to what you've got and try to build it.
Max, finally, I realize you've been reporting more on the big picture, but the Rashada situation in Florida is getting everyone's attention. Do you think this is going to be a significant or symbolic case because of all the money that was reportedly offered and it falls apart before he really even settles in? What do you think, if there is any long-standing impact other than Florida being embarrassed by this, what it will be?
Yeah, I think you probably could write a book at this point on the whole Jaden Rashada saga over the last year. I mean, I think it's just been fascinating to watch that play out. And honestly, Paul, I feel bad for the kid. I just think, and I know a lot of people might not feel that way because they say, wow, that's a lot of money you're getting offered and you'll probably make some good money at your next school or whatever. But I think there's just, he's been caught up kind of in the middle of like this whole sea change that's going on. And obviously a very competitive situation between Florida and Miami in the recruiting space and all that. And you've got some people around you that are trying to benefit off this. And like, you hope that the kid ultimately, like, it seemed like he really did want to go to Florida until this deal fell apart. And like, you hope he can ultimately go to a place where he can be happy and develop and play up to these like impossibly high expectations that come with kind of being the guy that's linked to this. Now, you just kind of feel bad about how this has all played out. And certainly, yeah, it's going to be, it's kind of, as you've seen, kind of a lightning rod for this whole era that we're in right now. And, obviously a very bad look for Florida.
Great stuff, as always, Max Olson from The Athletic. Many, many thanks. We head to the break. We'll get to your phone calls here in just a moment. It is Friday afternoon. We'll talk to some other top reporters around the country, including Chris Lowe and Ross Dellinger, about some of the subjects we talked about here, and we'll expand that a little bit. We appreciate you being here, and we'll come right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Joining us shortly, Ross Dellinger as well, but plenty of time for you to get in as well at 855-242-7285. And Greg starts us off from Mississippi. Hello, Greg.
Hello, Mr. Ball. Appreciate you taking my call, buddy. Sorry about that. Yesterday, I sat around, I don't know, it was about close to an hour anyway, no problem, but my phone went dead, so I had to reboot.
Well, glad your phone has been resurrected.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. I just want to touch base on the NIL and transfer. You know, Mr. Paul, we've talked in the past, and I played college football at a high level. Played with some great guys and against some guys. Michael Irvin went on to the Cowboys. Cortez Kennedy. I bet you ain't heard that name in a long time.
Man, Miami.
Yes, sir. Purdy. Keith Lester went on to play Cincinnati Bengals. Danny Coleman at Washington Redskins. Really, like I said, I've been there. I come out of many a night up at Kentucky. At midnight, you know, and go to the cafeteria and eat and get back in line and get a piece of chicken and get back in line in another line and get a piece of fish or whatever, take back to the room. I've been there and done that. I know right where we're coming from. But the players were already getting a stipend, I think they called it. And I don't know. You know, Ms. Paul, I remember, I think it was 2017, 18. I remember sitting here watching the show as I'm doing today. You brought up this NIL deal. And I think it was birthed out from the West Coast out there at the Pac-12, you know, where, I don't know, it seemed like later they couldn't manage a thrift store. And I was just, like I said, I'm seeing it both ways and everything like that and the transfer portal. And I think Coach Pittman, which I admire a lot from Arkansas, he had brought up the fact of the timing and everything. And then you take the spineless leadership of Mark Emery. I don't know how anybody could not predict where we're at right now, Mr. Paul.
Yeah, I don't think it's not difficult to predict that we would be in a mess. I think what surprised some people, for whatever reason, is the aggressiveness, yes, and the creativity that some of these schools use. I mean, I think we knew we would have money offered, but $13 million deals for quarterbacks, I don't think we predicted
right.
that.
No, sir. I don't know how you stay hungry with deals like how a fella. And the thing about this, I think it was Paul. The guy, like I said, I played a different level. He never produced. He never played a down, and you're already getting off on this foot. You know what I mean?
I certainly do. Well, listen, it's great to hear from you, Greg. You check in with us soon. Dan is up next.
Thanks, Paul. I was just going to talk about Alabama, LSU, Florida, and Ole Miss. But anyway, with LSU, everybody's putting LSU, you know, that they're going to win the West. But LSU's defense was actually decimated. You know, they lost their entire defensive line. And I don't know, you know, if people looked at it closely, but LSU's got some rebuilding to do, and I think Alabama, they just put in another quarterback or whatever, so that's where I'm at on that. And also with Ole Miss and Florida, I think they're the biggest losers. you know, in everything that's going on.
Well, the one thing you have to understand, Dan, is you may lose 12 players or 14 or 16, but in Ole Miss's case, they're getting that many more back. I agree. I think the LSU love is a little bit trendy at the moment, but we don't know what these rosters are going to look like for a few more months. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Fred is in Alabama, and you are next up. Hey, Fred.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Fred,
talking
Fred.
Well, have a.
Well, I don't think so.
Who are Nick Saban's two leading coaches for the offensive and defensive coordinator that you think?
I think the name I'm watching very closely is Jeremy Pruitt. I think we are closing in on some information on that, perhaps from the NCAA or Tennessee. If he gets a green light, I think Jeremy Pruitt is the guy. But clearly, Nick Saban is taking his time.
Well, and what about the offensive coordinator?
Well, I think there are a lot of possibilities for that. Pete Thamel was here the other day. He mentioned Jeff Lebby, who's currently at Oklahoma. He had been at Ole Miss. Some people argue back that he just signed one of the top quarterbacks. There are a bunch of other names being mentioned. I don't really know Nick Saban's mindset right now. He certainly isn't sharing it with anyone.
Can we go back to the defensive coordinator? I heard there was talk about us getting one of Kirby Smart's top guys since he got so many of Nick Saban's coaches when he left Alabama. You know.
Yeah, well, the guy we're talking about is Schumann, who went to Alabama and was on Nick Saban's staff. So he is certainly on the list.
Is he a prospect too?
Because the bottom line at Georgia, he's the co-defensive coordinator with Will Muschamp, and you'd have to think Will Muschamp and Kirby Smart could probably live without him. Thanks for the call. And he's just been at, and remember, Dan Lanning left a year ago. Dennis is in Arizona. Hello, Dennis.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Okay, Dennis. Thank you.
There was a book written about Auburn and Alabama football, and it talked about different schools and who had money. It brought up something that you mentioned the other day, and that is basically different schools have a lot of money to spend on football. And I'd like you to think about this, that in football, there's one or two people that are very important for each team. And Auburn has somebody that's very important and has very deep pockets. This person is always active at the ball games, down with the players before the game starts, this type of thing. And he's got a lot of money, and money buys lots of different things, good or bad. But this person's name is Tim Cook. Have you ever heard of him?
Yeah, no, I know Tim very well.
So last time I checked, his net worth was $1.8 billion.
Might be on the low side.
Yeah, probably so, depending on stock. But I just wondered, you know, if he turned loose some of his money, Auburn could out probably bid anybody.
Well, let me say this about Tim Cook, and I know him fairly well. I've spent a lot of time around him. I did a small documentary on him a couple of years ago for the SEC Network. And for those who don't know who Tim is, he's the president and CEO of Apple. He went to Auburn undergraduate, got out of there late 70s. And I don't think Tim Cook is going to spend much time participating in NIL. Tim Cook certainly cares deeply about Auburn. He cares more about education, and I would be surprised to see him in the middle of this particular platform. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's check in with Jesse in Georgia. Hey, Jesse.
Paul, good afternoon. How are you today?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Well, I have an opinion about these NIL collectives. So you know how desperate college football fan bases can be sometimes?
Yes.
So what's your opinion on this, that say that a fan of a certain school wanted to sabotage the other school by offering a certain college athlete or high school athlete a certain amount of money and purposely not giving it to them just to sabotage that school. What do you think about that?
Well, Jesse, I would never rule anything out when it comes to nefarious activities among rivals, but I think we're probably letting our imagination wander a little too much here.
Well, you know, they did burn the trees down in Auburn.
They done it. Well, they sure did. You had a maniac poisoning a tree, but I think the effort that it would take to keep a player from another school would probably be easier or better served to use that time to get the player to go to your school.
Okay, yeah, and I got another thing. Why don't you get you a reunion, the Paul Feinbaum reunion?
Okay, well, who would you like to see there?
All your callers.
Well, I guess my question would be anybody in particular who, if you had to give me a couple of names, who would they be?
Well, you'd definitely have to do it at a boxing ring or a wrestling venue. I guess Daryl and all your typical, you know, crazies. Daryl, Larry, you know, all of them.
Yeah, I think that would be funny. Daryl, Larry, all of them in a boxing ring. What do they call that in like the WWE when they put a bunch of when they put everybody in the ring and they people can start getting tossed out?
Battle Royale.
Battle Royale. That's what we ought to do.
Battle Royale.
Yeah, I mean, you know, pick a caller Battle Royale. You pick about 10 or 15 people. Throw them in the ring and last man standing. We'll take a short break. Back with more of your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's HIMS.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. HIMS.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
William is up next as we say hello to you again.
Hello, Paul. How are you?
Very well, William.
Have you seen the Trey Wallace article that was in Outkick? I think it was a couple days ago, but it was updated today about the Florida situation.
No.
Well, interesting, a couple of points that Wallace says. Number one, he points out something you and I talked about a year and a half ago, which is that these collectives are being operated by individuals, many of whom have very little business or legal experience in a very complicated area. But he also reported, and this kind of goes back to what I suggested earlier in the week, except it's got a different wrinkle to it. He reported that the Miami collective had advanced money to the player, and the Florida collective turned around and reimbursed Miami for what they had advanced to this player, which means that Florida donations were used to pay Miami, if this is true, for their bad business mistake with this particular player, which, it's a clown parade led by a village idiot, Paul. Had you heard that?
No, I mean, I have not. I mean, that's I mean, let's remember one important factor. When it looked like Miami was getting Rashada, the Florida fan base melted down. So, yeah, I can understand the reaction or the overreaction or get him at any cost, and I'm sure you can too. I mean, the rest of it's comical, but that's really where, you know, if you're going to buy a player, buy him correctly.
Well, what I can't understand is giving your donor money to your, you know, in-state rival's donor base because they made a mistake.
Yeah, no, I'm not, I don't know that to be true. I'm sure Trey knows what he's talking about there, but it does make this even more comical than it already is.
Oh, it's completely comical. And you know, you get to the...
I mean, will Billy Napier, again, when will he fall out of the clown car moving into the circus?
Well, I don't know. You know, the other thing that I take a little bit of umbrage with is some of your talking heads who have all said, well, you know, the athletic departments cannot communicate with these collectives. I don't buy that because I don't know how
ridiculous.
A collective can produce. Yeah, how can a collective go after a player unless they know that the athletic department wants that player?
And is the athletic department that would come under the subtitle of plausible deniability.
Right, exactly. But it doesn't make any sense to
say, what's going on involving our players. Of course not.
Even though we've got them ranked 1, 2, 3, that this is the tackle we want or this is the quarterback we want. I certainly wouldn't let a bunch of guys running a collective make those decisions for me. Would you?
No, I do find the silence coming out of Gainesville to be rather rather dramatic.
Well, I did see some today that said that Billy Napier was the next Derek Dooley, but I won't go that far.
I tell you what, if that is true, then it seems like we would already have known it because it was. I felt like Dooley was a bust from the spring game on.
Well, you know, he was too busy buying color coordinated magnets for his to do board. I think he spent I don't know how many thousands on magnets that went on his to do list on his whiteboard. So. I found that to be pretty comical too, but be that as it may, Paul, I'll say it again. You know, it's like an engagement. Everybody's getting engaged and happily married for a while. Now we're seeing a divorce, and you know how ugly divorces can get.
Yeah, I'm quite fortunate to say I never had to encounter one, at least legally.
Well, you're a very lucky man in that way because some of us have. In my case, they actually called it the War of the Roses. So be that as it may, have a great weekend. Enjoy stirring this stuff up.
Thank you very much, William. Kelly on Long Island. Hello, Kelly.
Hi, how are you, Paul?
Very well, thank you.
Hope that you're having a good New Year so far.
We are.
So I'm interested in the Jim Harbaugh situation, your favorite subject. Do you think that he felt that he owed the school to stay? Or was he turned down by the teams that he interviewed for in the NFL? Because it would seem to me that him facing the music there would have been a risk for his career, even though, you know, he did win the big game against Ohio State. What are your thoughts on that? And what about Matt Weiss?
Yeah, first of all, I don't know anything about the Matt White situation. Other than what I've read. As far as Harbaugh, I do think Harbaugh knew this was coming down. There's no secret. I mean, this has been going on for months, so he would be well aware. He would be cognizant of the negotiations with the NCAA. I think he got some information that he was going to possibly get the Denver job or another job. So he interviewed, he talked to the Carolina owner as well. And then I think what happened, he found out after a couple of days that they really did not want him. I was told Carolina said no pretty quickly. Denver, I think, was waiting to get the Sean Payton news, and I think Harbaugh got tired of waiting. So he just pulled out, knowing he probably wasn't going to get a job again, and he was better off just saying, I'm staying at Michigan, as opposed to twisting in the wind for another week or two and be completely humiliated. But to me, he has been humiliated in all this.
I agree.
I mean, you don't do a job interview if you're not interested in getting a job elsewhere. I mean, how hard is that to figure out?
Exactly. Do you think the Colts were ever interested in him? After the Jeff Saturday situation,
Be an upgrade over Saturday. I will say that.
It would be hard to follow.
By the way, I say that as somebody who knows Saturday well and thinks he's a great ESPN analyst.
He's a great guy.
He's a wonderful guy, but terrible
head
coach.
He was in a situation that probably was never going to work out.
No. I mean, that would...
If you think about it.
There's a lot of comparisons, but... I know everyone thinks all we do is beat up on Harbaugh, but this is now two years in a row.
No, I don't believe that. I think you've been very fair to him.
It's twice in a row that he's put his toe in the water and he hasn't gotten the job. And that tells me he realizes that he's probably reached the ceiling at Michigan. And to his credit, to bring this program back, to beat Ohio State, to go to the playoffs,
is really
unbelievable. Mm-hmm. But this is where it ends for him, though.
You think that this is the last job he's going to get?
The NFL is a very clubby society. And if you notice the type of coaches they're hiring, I mean, they're hiring a bunch of Sean McVay, Brian Daboll, coordinator, system-oriented coaches. They're not really interested in big figures anymore.
John Payton seems to be a big
He's
name.
The exception because he's proven. And by the way, I don't know what they see in Sean Payton. I really don't. To me, he burned out in New Orleans.
Yeah, he looked awful in that press conference, to be honest with you, when he stepped away.
Oh, I think he's a clown. I really don't understand the fascination with him. But
that was part of the Belichick system, too.
Yeah, but
he worked with Parcells. He has name rep. I mean, he was a good coordinator.
True.
And he won one. You know, and he took Drew Brees is a good quarterback, but he was undersized, not a great arm. And he took him to the summit. And so, you know, that stands for a lot.
Let me ask you, Kelly. So Gruden comes back. He struggled. That has nothing to do with his ending. But I haven't seen that many quarterback coaches who have been I correct myself. Doug Peterson has proven to be a very capable coach the second go around. But he was never a big figure, though, like we're talking about here.
No, he wasn't vaunted. You know, Gruden also ascended based on a team that really was already there when Tony Dungy left.
Right, exactly.
If you think about it.
Of course.
So he just – and he was an insider against the Raiders. So he knew everything in that Super Bowl. And he got very lucky.
Correct.
That they had older people, you know. And, you know – the Raiders tried, but they had older, you know, Jerry Rice. People were kind of at the end in that Super Bowl. So,
well, Kelly, thank you very, very much. Great to talk to you again.
Yep, we'll talk soon.
You bet. Kelly on Long Island, and we are coming right back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back here on a Friday afternoon, and Mike is up next in Chicago. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going, Paul? Maybe I'm not the smartest person in the world, but I'm just lost on where is the NCAA. I mean, the evidence is right there sitting in front of us. A player says, hey, you do not have my money, so I am not coming to your school, which is totally illegal. So where is the NCAA swooping down on Florida to say, hey, we're going to set an example right now, make sure we have a clear understanding about NIL, and set an example? I mean, is there even an investigation going on?
Well, first of all, we don't know what the crime is. And I know you're about to say, well, come on, it's on Florida, but it really isn't on Florida in this case. Him signing with that collective, in theory, was legal. I say in theory because we don't really know what went down. But the school, that's the new world we live in. You can cut your own deal, and the school does not get in the middle of it.
I don't have a problem with cutting the deal. I have a problem when you're saying I'm not coming to your school.
Well,
that part is illegal.
I mean, there's a direct correlation there, but I don't think you can implicate Florida in this situation.
Well, if Florida is agreeing or giving a thumbs up to releasing of the from your NIL, the NLI.
Well, that's what they have control over, his scholarship, but they don't have any. I say all this in air quotes, okay?
Understand, yes.
But I mean, besides, the NCAA would have to care enough to investigate. I mean, yeah, this would normally be something that the NCAA office would send a swarm of people down and try to get to the bottom of this just to find out, just to make sure, but that's not how they operate any longer.
And that's the thing that totally gets me. But yet if
Mike, you could have a video of a coach paying a player $1 million and the NCAA wouldn't know what to do with it.
Right, but I'm saying, but then you can have a player getting a hamburger and then half the NCAA investigation team is there to investigate and then send an example for maybe 50 cents or $1.50, but yet this goes on and somehow or another, there's not even an investigation. I understand there's some, you know, red lines and some lines you have to read between here, but at least have an investigation.
Now, that I agree with you on. I think the NCAA ought to look into exactly, but thanks. I mean, we're both beating our head against the wall because they're not going to do it. So let's just call it what it is. Thank you for the call. William is in Arkansas, and you are on the air. Hello, William.
Paul, first-time caller. I'm going to talk about Arkansas basketball. It seems like every time we play, there seems to be a host of fouls. I know you're nonpartisan when it comes to teams. But we played Missouri Wednesday night, and there was 56 fouls called. 33 went to Arkansas. We're under 2 minutes. Devo Davis drives to the basket and gets called for a charging foul. They reviewed it because it was under 2 minutes and said the call stands. However, after the game, the SEC reviewed it and said the Missouri guy was standing on the line. What alternative do you have now? I mean, we lost the ball game by 3 points, but, you know, it would either have been 2 foul shots or our ball out.
Yeah, I think those are the worst kind when you know the call was bad versus just thinking it was bad. I don't know. I have no answer for you other than I'm a little surprised by what I'm seeing with Arkansas, and I know you've explained the game the other night, but I hope they can turn it around.
Well, we're young. I realize that. But about the time you think we're going to go, the guys in the striped shirt put a halt to it.
Well, this is where I normally say they're human beings, but sometimes I'm not sure.
Well, if I mean, I don't have but what angles they show, you know, on TV. And the guy was definitely standing on the line. There's no doubt about that. I don't know
well,
why.
Well, I'd like to know this, because I didn't see the game. But, William, how does the review not show it, and then the review of the review does show it?
That's what, I mean, does the SEC officials that reviewed it, do they have different shots of it?
No.
Because the
no.
shot they showed on TV, you can definitely see he has a foot standing on the line.
Well, they're
with
probably
the heel.
Not looking at anything other than the television replay.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we saw on TV.
Yeah. No, I don't know how they would – the official on the scene would not have a better replay than what you saw.
Yeah, there's no doubt about
now,
that.
Now, it's possible that you know, after they reviewed it again, they would have another angle. I don't know where that angle would come from, do you?
No.
Maybe the
no
hidden,
idea.
The Abe Zabruder film.
Yeah.
thanks for the call. We're up against a break. We will come back. Chris Lowe will join us next. We'll talk to him about Alabama's coaching carousel, the Rashada situation, and more after this.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.